This is a production of Cornell University.
So it looks like we're at about 21 EA members. So I think we have quorum. I'm going to call this meeting to order. I'm going to ask that Karen takes a screenshot of the participants so that we can share it with Office of the Assembly to get roll call. We've got quite an agenda today. We've got some resolutions to go over. I want to kind of pause and welcome all the new members and ask if any of this is moving a little bit too quickly, or if you have any questions, feel free to send me a chat or raise your hand. I wanna, you know, recognize that this is a really different format than what we're used to. And usually in person, a lot of these discussions, you know, are handled a little bit more fluidly. So moving to an online platform, we're faced with different challenges. So if you're finding that any of this discussion isn't making any sense, or if you just want a moment to sort of clarify what the process is, feel free to just raise your hand or speak out loud about you know, what might we do to sort of help facilitate this meeting a little bit better for you. Ellen, you have your hand raised. You're on mute.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to ask if we can make the chat public. It looks like right now we can only chat to you or Michelle or Gina privately, or Wendy, the hosts.
Done.
Okay, let's see. That's a good question. I will allow Wendy to sort of work on that. I guess for the time being, raise your hand or message me, and then I will try to get you recognized. So sorry about that. Joe, you have your hand raised?
Just a quick request of Gina and anyone else who actually posts files to the shared box account. There are characters that can appear in file names that prevent the box account from syncing to a local machine. Some of those characters affect Macs, a different set of characters affects PCs. But in general, if we can avoid colons, question marks, those are the two biggies. If we can avoid those, I'd appreciate it. And I will dig up a list of those problematic characters and circulate it out, or send the link in the chat.
All right, thank you, Joe. Moving on to revisiting resolution one, which is a review of the budget. I know that there were some questions beforehand. I apologize. I don't think that I expressed very clearly that this budget is really sort of like a guideline for where, you know, we would like to spend. It is not an all be all budget. If we spend like $5, $10 more in one certain area, we have the flexibility to do so. So within the budget, we have these guidelines, but it is not written in stone, and it isn't as if we can't spend a little bit more from one proposed, you know, area, or spend less in another proposed area. So there is flexibility here. I'm going to share the screen very quickly so that we can look at the budget. Let me know if you're able to view this budget. I'm going to try to zoom in a little bit here. So we've got the proposed fiscal year 21 budget. So fiscal year 21 is what we're in. And then we have the actuals down here under fiscal year 20. So these are the actuals. And you'll notice that, you know, we spent more for administrative costs than we had budgeted. We had spent less in sort of internal operations and elections than we had anticipated. So you can kind of see that, you know, even in the past, we haven't spent, you know, the exact amount that we had budgeted, and that's all right. So looking at the fiscal year 21 budget, I know that Jamie had done a really good job of revising this. So I'm going to turn this over to Jamie to kind of talk a little bit more about before we move on to questions. And then finally, if we want a motion to vote on this, we can do so as well. So Jamie.
Hi, guys. Fellows, folks, So I put the 2019-2020 numbers to the left there just so that you could quickly see in one shot what is happening there. Anything in red has been reduced from last year's allocation. Anything in green has been increased. If there are, I added the guidelines from the Office of Assemblies regarding the funds into the resolution so that those guidelines are now part of the resolution in the whereas statements. And, you know, I think this is a good starting point, and we'll see how the year shakes out. Sorry. We'll see how the year shakes out to see where we need to spend money. But obviously, we're not spending it on lunch food for the meetings.
Thank you. So if you have nothing else, I'm going to stop sharing this so that I can see the screens a little bit better. I'm going to open up this resolution for debate. I want to ask if anybody has any questions or any concerns about it at this time. So you have access to this in the box. I'm going to review the screen to see if anybody has their hand raised or would like to speak. Do we have any questions, any concerns? I'm just reviewing everybody now. I don't see that anybody's hand is raised. Okay, Brian, your question.
Yeah, first of all, thanks, Jamie. Good job. And I call the question to accept the budget as read.
Okay, and Joe, I see your hand is up.
I was gonna call the question as well, but ask that for the old man in the room, I'll single myself out. Could people make their screen as big as possible so the numbers are clearer?
Okay.
That spreadsheet is also in the pending resolutions folder on Box so that anyone can look at it, you know.
Okay, Kate, you have your hand up.
Thanks, Jamie.
Sure. I know that this has been gone over, but I just wanted to say again that and ask one more time for the explanation about the reduction in our contribution to the CARE Fund. We have a reduction in other expenses, and this is certainly a time, I would imagine, where there is an increased need among staff for access to the CARE Fund. And my understanding, I think, is that we were asked administratively not to put our funds towards that, but so, I wanted it to be clear, or I wanted to feel clear about where the request was coming from, because my guess is it's not coming from the membership of the EA or the leadership. So an explanation on that would be appreciated.
So I can try to field this question, and Gina, feel free to add any more information to it. It was deemed by the university relations who provide the funding to us that EA funding is only for things required to run the EA. It's not money for us to give to other organizations or other parts of Cornell. And so while that had been in the past something that the EA did contribute to, it was deemed a prohibited expense going forward. And Gina, I guess, yeah, if there's anything else? No, okay.
You hit the mark, thanks.
Okay, no, thank you. I just wanted one more clarification on it and to make sure we all understood. Thank you, Jamie, thank you, Gina.
Thank you. Joe, I noticed that your hand is up. I don't know if that was from the previous question or if you had a new question.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Okay, so I am going to make a motion, seeing no other questions, to end debate and then move this forward to vote. Do I get a second on that?
Second.
Joe, Karen has seconded that. So. We are going to use, so for anybody who's new, if you go to participants, if you click on that, you should be able to see on the top under participants, a yes, no button. Does everybody see that? So if you go to participants on the bottom of the screen, okay, great, Brandon sees it. I see Lisa nodding, okay. And if you want to vote yes for this resolution to pass this budget, then click on yes. If you would not like to, if you would like to vote no, please say no. You can also abstain. You please type in abstain if that is the case. So we need a majority of votes yes to move this forward to the president, who will then approve it. So I'm going to ask you all to again submit your vote. It looks like right now we're at 22 yeses, 0 noes, and 0 abstentions. So with that, it looks like we have a majority at 22 votes for yes. So this budget is going to move along. I see a note from Virginia that she does not see her co-retiree members Sue and miss this discussion, so she will abstain. So thank you. We have 21 yeses, 1 abstention, and 0 noes. So because we have the majority, we're going to move this forward to the president so that she can approve of this budget. So I'm going to clear all these votes. We have that on the record and move on to the next agenda item for the day, which is resolution number 3. I believe it's written as resolution number 2, but it's actually resolution number 3. This is in recognition of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This was a resolution that Joe worked on, so I'm going to allow Joe to have the floor to talk about this resolution.
Am I able to share my screen? It looks as if I can. Can everyone see the resolution or no? Yes? Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. So I went through the comments that were here, made some tweaks to wording, and basically have some cleanup questions that I want to ask the committee as a whole. And then if we agree on how the final language reads, then we can move it forward. So the first question is, would anyone else like to be listed as a sponsor?
Absolutely.
And that I was, would. That was, who was the absolutely? Is that Brian?
Laura Taylor.
Kate Supran.
Michelle Podolik.
Andrea Hammond-Mott.
Marin Cherry.
I missed the last one. Marin Cherry.
Yep.
Deborah Howell.
Jen Michael.
I didn't mean to put folks on the spot. This is like peer pressure now, or it's feeling like peer pressure. Come on, just have a sip. No, and I will put in your appropriate titles.
Yeah, Joe, Lisa Zacharias from AA&D would like to sponsor it as well.
I'm sorry, Lisa?
Zacharias.
Z-A-C-H-A-R-I-A-S.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Just check on the spelling of names and EA reps as you go forward. I don't think we need to take the time to do that right now.
Most definitely. Okay. So whereas Joan Ruth Bader attended Cornell as an undergraduate majoring in government in the College of Arts and Sciences from 1950 through 1954, and whereas during her undergraduate career, Bader, I got resolved the pronoun reference. Bader worked as a researcher for Professor Robert Cushman. Should professor be capitalized since it's a title? And there's a specific name?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. During which time she worked on tracking entertainment industry blacklists during the McCarthy era, comma, inserted, elevating her awareness of the Constitution, comma, and was encouraged by Cushman to apply to law school. And whereas during her time at Cornell, Bader participated in the Women's Self-Governance Association, a student government system within residence life. And whereas during her time at Cornell, she met Martin Ginsburg, marrying him shortly after graduating, I changed this, but it didn't say their graduation from Cornell in 1954. And whereas Ginsburg attended Harvard Law School, subsequently transferring to Columbia Law School, where she tied for first in her graduating class, all while becoming the first woman to be on two major law reviews, the Harvard Law Review and the Columbia Law Review. And whereas Ginsburg entered academia and served as a professor at Rutgers and Columbia Law Schools teaching civil procedure, is that a capitalized subject? My gut is saying it should be.
Yes, it is.
I thought so. Okay. And here's where I need Kit's input. Kit, you're right. The resolution, it was designed to focus on her career achievements and her Cornell ties. Would it be satisfactory to you, Kit, if we moved this statement that begins on line 36 into the one that says line 39, so it would read, whereas throughout her legal career, Ginsburg served as a professor at Rutgers and Columbia Law Schools teaching civil procedure and worked to advance the rights of all people.
Yeah, I think that sounds great.
That sounds okay. All right,
yeah.
So I'll move that down here, clean that up later.
Yeah, I guess my comment had referred to a different, I don't know if you were moving that that statement based off of my comment, but my comment referred to was in reference to a different statement that does look to appear to be removed.
Yes, it was a statement. I mean, her role as a parent is notable.
Yes.
But I agree. I wanted this to focus on her career as, you know, her career in law.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Agreed. Cool.
Is that okay with you, Michelle?
Yeah, I think that's great.
Okay. Again, I'll clean that up. Ginsburg argued 6 gender discrimination cases before the United States Supreme Court during the 1970s, winning 5. And whereas Ginsburg was nominated by former president, should we include his first name?
No.
Okay. Former President Carter to his seat on the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, where she served from the time of her confirmation on June 18th, 1980, to her appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court. And whereas Ginsburg was nominated by former President Clinton and appointed as an associate justice. Is associate capitalized like associate professor is?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Thank you. I love that I'm surrounded by grammarians. August 10th, 1993. Whereas since 1999, Ginsburg battled 5 bouts of various types of cancer, all the while upholding her promise to, quote, remain a member of the court as long as I can do the job full steam. And I found the reference, the earliest reference I could to the quote. I believe that's probably not a proper quote style, if someone closer, I did my dissertation and then forgot all my APA stuff. So M. Sherman and J. Gresko, it appears on the Associated Press website. I didn't want to say retrieved from website, but that's when I retrieved it. Is that okay? Are we sticklers like on stuff like this, or are we, is this cool?
I don't think that you need to put retrieved on September 19th.
Does the parenthetical need to be there at all?
You need to, if it's a quote, then you should leave the quote there, yes, because you're taking the quote from the AP.
That I get.
Yeah, but the way it is in like federal legislation, they don't put those direct quotes in the body of the text, but that'll come in the legislative history and supplements. So I think, unless someone has a different opinion, I think you could do either and be totally cool with it.
Okay.
Or you could omit it. My suggestion would be moving the parentheses after the quote itself to STEAM.
Okay.
That's more of how we would do it in legal writing. But it's,
I had Sister rap you on the knuckles if you got it wrong. And the quote is part of the sentence, Joseph. The quote is part of the sentence. So was that Rigel I heard?
Oh.
No, who made the comment?
Nasser.
Nasser? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that more correct?
Yeah, I would do it as putting the parentheses after STEAM, and just you end the quote there and then you have your citation subsequent to.
I see what you mean. Okay.
And so you just got to watch to drop the semicolon over.
Which semicolon?
After, is there one after and?
There is.
So that would go before the word and after the.
Oh, then you have to do that all the way up through.
Yeah, that's not the format of the template.
I see. Okay.
In the interest of time, because we don't have very much time, I would like to ask if there are any revisions, if we could table this and then come back when the resolution is fully edited, because we don't have very much time, but we do have quite a bit of work to get through. So
okay.
I would like to ask if there are any edits that we complete them outside of the EA meeting, and then we bring this resolution back fully edited for discussion and then for a vote. Do I get a second on that?
I second.
Understood.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I will do those edits. Are there any last minute respectfully submitted additions, since I can't do them without knowing who they are?
Everyone who is at the top of your resolution should also be at the bottom of your resolution. So all those names you just added, you'll just add those to the bottom as well.
That's a perfect rule. Okay. Thank you so much. Hey, apologies for going over time.
No. Joe, thank you so much for this resolution. I think it is a great resolution and it really pays respect to, a Cornell alum and somebody who's really greatly respected and appreciated within the community. So thank you so much for working on this. And I'm hoping that once all the edits are done, we'll be able to vote and move this forward in our next EA meeting. So we are going to table this and move on to the next business of the day, which is the president's address to staff. So I want to give you all a reminder that every year the Employee Assembly hosts the president's address to staff, which is one of the only opportunities that we have for the president to speak to the staff community. And it's also an opportunity for us to engage and ask the president questions. I see that Nasser's hand is up, so I want to, ask, do you have a question about the president's address to staff, or
No, I had a question actually about the prayer segment. Sorry to break the flow, but do you all ever, this is a new guy question, vote electronically in between meetings on matters?
We have in the past. We can vote electronically. So if we can finish the edits and then share with everybody, we can do an online vote if that's something that you would be interested in for resolution number 3 in recognition and appreciation of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So
I would personally like to do that because okay. I don't want this to get too stale.
Yeah, I agree. So after you make the edits, let's share, and then I'll send out an email and solicit votes, and then we can do an online vote to sort of move this forward to the president quicker than it would take for us to do it in person, which would be in 2 weeks. Does that work for everyone? Do I get a second on that?
Okay,
got one from Kit. So let's move forward to do that. So thank you for that suggestion, Nasser. I think it's a great way for us to move this forward. All right.
Thank you, Nasser.
So moving on to, again, the president's address to staff. So this is going to take place October 20th from 12 to 1. For the first 15 minutes, we're going to do the Employee Assembly Employee Appreciation Award. So you've all nominated individuals, and we're going to present to the award recipient during the president's address to staff. This will be all virtual on Zoom from 12 to 1 on October 20th. That's a Tuesday from 12 to 1. And then the president will speak to us for 30 minutes. She's going to talk about topics such as COVID, how we're doing, how the staff are doing in terms of handling that. We're going to talk about the core values and how they relate to diversity and inclusion. We're going to have her talk about, you know, any open subjects she would like to, you know, address the staff with. And I think afterwards, we're going to have maybe roughly 10 to 15 minutes of live open Q&A, which will be moderated by Michelle. So that is the overall format of the president's address to staff. Does anybody have any questions about it? I do ask that as members of the Employee Assembly that you use your network, leverage, you know, your communication channels to spread the word on the Employee Assembly president's address to staff. I think the more people involved, the more they know, the more engaged they are, I think it's better for Employee Assembly and for staff overall. So I want to open this up for questions and see if anybody has their hand raised. Nasser, I see your hand is raised, but I'm not sure if that was from the prior segment. No. Okay. So you can just unraise your hand. So I will lower it for you. Is there anybody else? Okay. Virginia, I see your hand is up.
Okay. So how are all the staff notified? They're notified by an email, right?
That's a great question. That's a great question. So we usually have faculty staff newsletter that goes out once a week. So one went out today, and the next one on October 14th will go out notifying all faculty and staff of the president's address to staff. So that should be the number one item on the top. Also, we're going to have an all staff email. We have this posted on Facebook. We have this posted on our social media outlets. And also you all as Employee Assembly members, if you can, please share the information. Brandon, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I just had a question about the nominations. Maybe I'm jumping ahead and how that process is we'll go through.
That's a great question. So we have solicited, Ellen has sent out an email. I have sent out a reminder asking Employee Assembly members to follow the Qualtrics link, nominate somebody for the Employee Appreciation Award. So this is an opportunity for the Employee Assembly to say, I want to recognize this group. And especially during this time, during this pandemic, so many units across campus have really stepped up, faced new challenges, like some that are really detrimental, you know, and very, you know, risky. And I think that we should recognize them for that. So through the Qualtrics, we have collected several nominations. Ellen's going to talk about that in the next portion. But today we're going to discuss those nominations, and we're going to vote on who we think should receive this Employee Appreciation Award. But I think also during the Employee president's address to staff. Whoever provides that award is going to hopefully highlight in their speech, you know, a lot of the great work happening and these nominations that we've collected. Andrea, I see your hand is up.
One of the things that we get typically from Wendy in the Office of the Assemblies is the calendar notification on our calendars, which I've used in the past to forward it to our constituency group. If we can do that, that's another way to promote the president's address to staff.
Thank you, Andrea. That's a great, you know, reminder that we do get these calendar reminders, and I would encourage everybody to share it within their networks. I really think it's important for staff to stay engaged, and I think that the president will probably offer, you know, a hopeful message and one, I hope, of encouragement for a lot of staff. And from what I've been hearing, a lot of staff have been feeling very drained and very sort of stressed. And so I think it's a good opportunity to hear from the president and hopefully hear a message, a more positive message perhaps than we've heard in the past. So I wanna ask if there are any other questions about the president's address to staff before we move on to Ellen, who's going to talk about each of these nominations. And then we're going to have essentially a vote. Brendan, okay, no, your hand is down. Any other questions? Hey,
I just like to clarify, we are not going to vote during the meeting. Okay. It's going to be a Qualtrics vote after. We're just gonna go over the nominations and open for discussion.
Yeah, sorry about that. I think that's a good idea. I don't know how much time we would have for all the voting, but also I'm going to now bring this over to you, Ellen, to talk about the nominations. And thank you for the reminder that the vote will occur online.
Thank you. So I'm very happy to inform everyone that we've received 12 nominations through the Qualtrics form for units on campus. And of those 12 nominations, I believe we have 9 unique groups that we can vote on. I'm just going to review the, all of them are in the box, and I just posted the link. I can share my screen as well if you'd like. Actually, I guess I will. I guess I'll do that. And just briefly review them and then a little bit of discussion. So we received a nomination for Cornell Health, who are the clinical staff members at the forefront of the fight against the spread of coronavirus and service to the student population. Their primary responsibility is servicing the students, running the health center. And we all know that they have done a great job testing the faculty, student, and staff population. Thousands of tests are administered weekly and have been able to keep the positive number of cases down. Their efforts are much appreciated and deserving of our appreciation. So that's the first nomination. I'm obviously paraphrasing all of these. These will remain in the box, available for you to reference during the voting period. And I guess I can just quickly clarify that I will be sending out a Qualtrics immediately after this meeting where you can vote starting today through the weekend, through the end of the day on Sunday, and I will collect the votes on Monday morning. That way, if anyone is not in the meeting today or just needs time to review all of the nominations, they have time to do so, so you're not put on the spot. Because I think this is a really important award and a great chance for us to really recognize those that deserve it. So I think it's important that you take the time to really read through the nominations and make your choice wisely. So with that said, nomination number one is for Cornell Health. The next two nominations, I believe we can wrap them into some other nominations that were received. We received a nomination for essential staff, custodial and dining, and a nomination for essential workers, especially facilities and custodial staff. I believe that these two are covered in the next nominations, which are for building care team from the facilities and campus services. So this will cover all of your custodial services, essential frontline workers. This is all of building care. and Building Care provides a wide range of custodial services, including support for events. They clean and disinfect the whole campus and ensure a safe and clean environment and for everyone that uses the facilities. We know that Building Care has been working around the clock since the COVID-19 pandemic hit, making sure that the entire campus is clean and sanitary for everyone that needs to be there. So that's Building Care. Then we have Campus Life Enterprise Services, which includes the Cornell Dining Workers. So I believe we can wrap those nominations for Cornell Dining into Campus Life Enterprise Services. And this includes housing, dining, Cornell Store, conference and event services. And there's a very lovely nomination here that really expresses everything that they've done during the hit of this pandemic. And again, similar to the custodial work, they have been working around the clock nonstop to make sure that the campus is ready for students and employees who need to be there, and that essential services are able to be provided to them. So please take a chance to read through this when you have some time. That's Campus Life Enterprise Services. The next nominee that we have is the Cornell Learning Technologies team. And this is a team that's comprised of CIT Video Engineering and Event Services, as well as CIT's Learning Technologies team and CTI's Learning Technologies team. So it is a collaboration between those groups, and they provide direct support to all faculty and instructors in their efforts to teach remotely. They provide event support backup for all of the Zoom conferencing calls, webinars, everything that people are using Zoom for on campus, as well as Canvas for teaching remotely. And very descriptive nomination here, but basically, bottom line is people are able to work remotely, learn remotely, teach remotely, because of what the Learning Technologies team has done. So again, please take a moment to read through that for CIT and the Learning Technologies team. Then we received two nominations for the Cornell Library Desktop Services. So that will be combined into one. This help desk team provides direct IT support to the majority of the library's endowed and statutory units, technology support for staff working remotely and remaining on site to work, and equipment loaned to patrons. And during the pandemic, again, they've had to step up their services, and says, knowing that the library is the heart of the university that many students rely on to be a safe and supportive space, Desktop Services was tasked with creating quiet study spaces and to provide classroom support within the library, which had never been done before. In addition to keeping up with their regular work, they were exceedingly above and beyond in moving public computers to create safe, socially distanced, quiet study spaces. And there's additional examples of what they've done to step up during this time. And again, there were two nominations for this group, Cornell University Library Desktop Services. So take a moment to read through those when you have a chance. They'll be listed as one option on the vote. Then up next, we have ILR Outreach for Work and the Coronavirus. And this is a website that was created in the ILR department that is for outside use. So it's not a Cornell specific website. It's being used across the state for tips and time sensitive information vital to managing the COVID pandemic. So this team of faculty, staff, and I believe I was going to say students, but let me read this. Outreach faculty and staff, web and media team, outreach and communication team. They've created this website to provide critical time-sensitive information vital to employers and employees managing the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a tremendous resource, an example of the excellent work outreach and extension can do to support New Yorkers and our nation during the current crisis. So again, take a moment to read through all the details and consider them. We have our lovely Office of Assemblies, Gina and Wendy, who provide support to all of the assemblies on campus, not just the employee assembly. And while the Office of Assemblies usually has summers off between terms, off in quotes, because we know no one has that time off, but they do have time to carefully plan for the upcoming year. And this past summer, that was not the case, as they were working around the clock to organize online staff forums with Mary Opperman and other key university officials to be sure that all staff were well updated on the progress of the COVID pandemic. And that's certainly above and beyond what's normally expected of them during this time. They have been facing some backlash from the student assembly as well. So it's important that they're acknowledged by the employee assembly, that we are grateful for their training, feedback, guidance, continuity, et cetera. And there's just the two of them that support the EA, the SA, the GPSA, and the Faculty Senate. Next up is the Cornell COVID-19 Testing Laboratory, the CCTL team. This is the COVID testing lab at the Vet Hospital. And this includes AHDC, VMIT, HR facilities, Vet Hospital for COVID-19 testing. And we all know that this, Cornell wouldn't be operating if it wasn't for them. Like, it wouldn't be possible. So please take a moment again to read through all of these details in the nomination about the testing facility, which is certainly above and beyond any normal expectations of these employees in their unit. And last, we have the Medical Leaves Administration, which is Cornell's medical leaves office, helps coordinate resources that enhance the health and well-being of all faculty and staff, maximize the quality of working life while minimizing negative impact of illness and disability. And we know that COVID-19 has affected our employees in many different ways. And when the university shut down, the staff of this unit helped people troubleshoot solutions to working at home and have helped with long and short-term accommodations needed. They support workers' comp, short-term disability, long-term disability, disability accommodations. They also do musculoskeletal injury prevention consultations. So they provide a lot of important services that have been especially come to light during this pandemic. So those are all of our nominees. As I said, 12 nominees were received. The two nominations for the libraries will be combined into one, and I will be eliminating the nominations for the essential staff and essential workers, because those will be wrapped up in with building care team and campus life enterprise services. So there will be 9 categories for you to vote on. And I would like to ask if there are any questions about any of the nominations, any comments, and Kate has her hand up.
So I'm fine combining, but when I read the Campus Life Enterprise Services, I wanted to be sure that we broaden it to include the frontline workers, because as it is written, it seems to specify the leadership of the campus enterprise team rather than the frontline workers, which, I mean, I think that they're...
Do you think we should, I will ask this, I guess, to the broader assembly as well, if we should leave those as 2 separate nominations, one for the enterprise solutions and one for frontline dining workers, or if they should be combined into one nomination. Does anyone else have any feedback on that? Kate, what is your opinion?
I'm happy combining them so that it covers the leadership and the workers, because certainly they're a unit and a team.
Yeah, more defined. We can certainly add some more defining information to that. I can speak with the person who wrote that nomination, and we can get some more information on that. Does everyone else agree?
I agree. Just to provide some context, I think when we try to divide it out too much, then we sort of divide the vote. So a stronger nomination for one unit will, I think, do a little bit better. In the past, we've seen people nominate different, you know, IT groups, and that sort of dilutes the vote. So it just makes it a stronger vote when we combine them and provide a little bit more language and support around them. So that is my suggestion.
I will get that updated and make sure that this file gets updated in the box so everyone can reference it during their voting. Any other questions or comments, discussion? Does anyone want to make a plug for a certain one over the other?
It looks like we've got several people.
Oh my gosh, several questions.
Rigel, Brandon, and Jamie. So I'm going to start with Rigel.
Reading the Cornell Health one and the COVID testing lab one, they seem pretty similar. And I was curious if we should maybe combine those two. I don't have an opinion either way, but maybe the testing laboratory would be more recognizable considering how historic of a feat it is just to be able to test that many times per day. And also how it's also received national recognition on like Good Morning America and stuff like that. Like it's pretty.
I think it's my understanding, Rigel, and I'm not 100% sure, but maybe some other people in the group can shed some clarification on that. I believe it's my understanding that the COVID-19 testing site does all the surveillance testing for the campus, while Cornell Health does testing for symptomatic cases and treatment of people with coronavirus and managing those symptoms and care. Is that correct? Sense. Brandon?
I'll chime in. Yeah, so they... for students, that is correct. For staff and faculty, they do not do test for cause, which is symptomatic persons. I've been very close in the conversations around that. That was actually one of my comments I was going to make about the Cornell Health piece. The credit gives to the thousands of tests, but Cornell Health doesn't have those levels of numbers. They're doing minimal testing for those students with cause, symptomatic reasoning. That the majority of tests are being done through the vet school, that laboratory. So I think the nomination for the Cornell Health is greatly warranted. However, just shifting that warrant from the thousands of tests to speaking to their consultation work and their advising work that they've done with the university to get us to where we're at right now.
Thank you, Brendan. That was really helpful. Andrea, do you have your hand raised?
Yeah, I don't know who did the nomination for the lab, but that was something that got together inside of 3 weeks to, you know, design, construct, and get it to a working order. So that is, again, the reason why, you know, that we're up and running is that testing component is significantly different from the Cornell Health. Again, both very, very warranted recognition, but they're just pretty separate.
I think this discussion is very helpful and really highlights the difference between the units and provides us a lot more information. Kit, I see your hand is up. If anybody else wants to be recognized, feel free to raise your hand and I'll try to get to you. So Kit, you had your hand raised?
Yes, I don't remember the exact verbiage of the campus life related nominations, but I would like to, in the text of the, if we were to combine the campus life essential workers versus campus life leadership, I would love to see that as someone in campus life explicitly noted in the language of the nomination, the different efforts that maybe the campus life leadership was able to put into place relative to the essential frontline workers and the efforts that were put into place, because I think they're different, yet they were both needed for the success of reopening. If that makes sense.
Okay, Ellen, you had your hand raised.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm hearing both sides to this with the for the campus life enterprise services and the frontline workers that we should combine, or that they are also very sort of different and separate. So I will touch base with the people who put in these nominations directly and see if we can work something out with that. I would also like to suggest, I'm gonna put a revised version of this in the box with the link on the voting matrix so everyone can reference it. I would also like to suggest if anyone has any comments to also write them in the box in the comments so that as people are voting, they can reference those as well. That may help with decision-making as well.
Thank you. Brandon, you had your hand raised.
Yes, yeah, so the Campus Life Enterprise Services, I'll take the ownership there on that nomination, and that it was not my intention to discount the frontline workers. It's interesting to hear that perspective, and I really appreciate that, because the intention was to show the massiveness of what was being done. And then as I did that, as you see, the nomination got quite long. But I think just adding in some bullets in there about the frontline workers is that's great feedback. And I think it's absolutely imperative. And I will apologize that my tone didn't come off as acknowledging them, because that was absolutely the intention.
Well, I think it's difficult with these nominations, because you really have to make a distinction and focus in on one group in order for the award to be what it is. You can't give an award to everyone, unfortunately, as much as we would love to. There's been so many different groups and people that have really gone above and beyond this past year, especially in this really crazy time that we're all in. So I think that's kind of the point of the nominations, and we do need to narrow it down a little bit. So I'll work with you, Brandon, on getting that a little more revised, but maybe we do want to consider keeping frontline workers separate in that case.
Brandon, I didn't mean to imply at all that I thought your nomination was not appropriate or disrespectful. I just thought that when Ellen was suggesting combining it, that it didn't encompass what she was suggesting combining it with.
I think what I'm hearing.
I want to vote for all of them.
I know.
I know, Kate. I really appreciate your.
Be here without the testing and without facilities and without student and campus life leadership.
I think what I'm hearing is that we will keep a separate nomination for the frontline workers. I'll work on getting that revised and put in there. And what we can do as well, once the vote is completed, depending on how the votes come in, we can certainly. Give some acknowledgement during the presidential address to, you know, second and third place, and say, you know, these are, you know, while this is our winner, you know, we'd also like to give a, you know, special recognition to these two groups who also, you know, have done a lot. And we can publish in our EA Voice newsletter list of the full nominees, and kind of give some recognition in that way as well. While we only have one award to give, we can still give recognition to all these groups in other ways. So I think that's really, really good and really important to do. Any other comments or questions? Kate and Brandon.
If I could just respond, Kate, I did not think you're making accusations. I appreciate that you acknowledge what it portrayed as. And I would advocate that we actually bring these two together, because of the fact that the CLAS group contains so many of the frontline workers in that regard.
Okay.
I think that my intention was to include those CLAS frontline workers in there. So I would love to have that brought in.
Okay, I'll work with you then, Brandon, thank you.
Thank you all. I think that was a really helpful conversation and a great discussion. And I'm really glad to see this engagement and having all these nominations. So I thank you all for nominating, for being engaged, being a part of Employee Assembly, and really putting the time and the work and effort in. Brandon, do you have your hand raised still?
I just want to close and say, please make sure that you do vote for this. Once I have this cleaned up a little bit with Brandon, I will be sending out the Qualtrics for you to make your selection. And it's really important that we have our entire body vote in this, so that we can have, you know, a clear representation from the group. And as I said, the vote will remain open through the end of the day on Sunday. And I will be collecting those votes on Monday to determine the winner. The winner will be kept a surprise until the announcement during the president's address, but I will be notifying the nominator so that they can help with contacting the group and working with the executive committee to get that presentation together for the address. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you for all of your work, Ellen. I think you've done a great job getting these in, putting this in the box, and then explaining everything. And I think this has been very productive. So thank you, Ellen. I have been monitoring the chat, and it looks like Nazar has made a suggestion. It looks like edits have been made to EA Resolution 3 in recognition of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And it sounds like, Nazar, you want to bring this resolution back to the table for a vote. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Do I get a second on this this motion? Brandon has seconded it. Virginia, Joe. So it looks like edits have been made. I am going to try to pull this up in the box.
Do you want me to grab it? Hey, would that be helpful?
Yes, that would be great. That would save me some time. So Joe's going to pull this up. I want everybody, I guess, to either review on the screen or at your home through the box, the resolution. And I ask you if you have any more questions or any other edits to this document, please raise your hand so that we can discuss it now. We could also have a motion to vote on this, to vote to approve it. I am going to ask you all for your feedback on this now. Please raise your hand so I can recognize you.
I can't raise my hand because of the feature where you're sharing, but I will say good job. Thank you, guys. And it looks like you already got a majority from the people that sponsored it.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any additional questions or a motion? Kit, you have your hand up?
Yes, I wanted to note that I believe Michelle P's name was, she needs it an E at the end of her first name.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, that's correct.
Any other questions? Thank you for calling that out and recognizing that. Any other questions, comments, discussion on this resolution? Brian, your hand is up.
I move to end debate and call the question.
Okay, do I get a second on the move to end debate? And okay, Alan has seconded it. So I, Joe, can you unshare the screen so that I want to be able to ask everybody to go into participants and then vote on this.
There you go.
Thank you. So I'm going to ask everybody to vote in the participants section. Please vote yes for, you know, approving this, no for no, and then please type into the chat abstain if you would like to abstain from this vote. Once we have a majority, then we will be able to pass this resolution. So please again, vote in the participant section. As of right now, we have a vote total of 20 yeses, 0 noes, 0 abstentions. It looks like we do have quorum, we do have a majority. The vote is now 21 yeses, 0 noes, 0 abstentions. With that, we are going to pass resolution number 3. Joe, when you're able to, please forward me the final version, and I will forward this to the Office of the President for approval. Thank you very much.
If I could just, thanks, Brandon, that's very kind. If I could ask another set of eyes just to look over it for typos. Hey, do you want me to put in the voting numbers, or is that?
Yes, please.
Okay, so it was 21
yeses. 21 yeses, 0 noes, 0 abstentions.
And it is
resolution number 3.
10.
In other words, it's unanimous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Joe. This is your first resolution unanimously voted through. Thank you. All right. I think the next business of the day is
my next one will be to have the Cornell flag that flew at half mast be given to her daughter.
Mm.
I know that. Okay, I could fall down the rabbit hole on that. All right.
Thank you.
2100 October 7th, 2020.
Yes, thank you. The next business of the day was to discuss the EA Teams app overview. So this is a tool and resource that we can all use. So I'm going to send this over to Jamie to discuss this. We have 10 minutes to do this. So I'm going to send this over to Jamie.
Sorry, I just cut out for a bit. What...
for the it looks like we have all the agenda, the Teams app overview.
Yep. Okay. Let me see if I can share this. Is that working? So anyway, I'll just explain it, and then we'll maybe go over some more details at retreat or something. But Cornell has just rolled out Microsoft Teams. It's a collaboration tool that involves chat features and video features and other things to help teams work together remotely. And I just thought that I would throw it out there that it might be something useful for us to use in the EA, since we are not able to meet in our committees and meet in groups, that we could then use this Teams to have a space for those kind of collaborative work outside of Zoom meetings or outside of official EA meetings. Obviously, some people may not want to use it. No one has to use it. I just wanted to make people aware that this does exist now. And I've been using it a little bit with my work team, been using it a little bit with some EA stuff so far, but not a whole lot. But maybe if there is interest in this, I don't know what the best way to move forward with that, whether from the committee standpoint or from the membership. But
thank you, Jamie. Ellen, you have your hand raised.
Yes, I had a couple of questions about it because I am trying to use it and it's not as intuitive to me as I thought it would be. And I've been using Slack with other groups on campus, and I was kind of hoping that it would be a similar, you know, one-to-one kind of thing, and I'm finding that it's not. I'm in the EA group that you created and the channel that you've created for my committee. Within that channel of my committee, it doesn't seem that I'm able to make subcommittees. Is that true? Because I would like to make different topics of discussion, like within my committee group, or would I have to make a separate, like,
I think that would be a separate channel,
and then
those are the channels.
And then I also would like to ask you if you have time. I know we're all very busy now, but if you have time and are willing to, maybe you could host a like a Zoom training for those of us that are interested, maybe like the committee chairs and anyone else who's interested in getting more into it. Because I would love to do that.
I would be happy to do that. And I was going to try and do some of that, but I just realized that if people don't, you know, this is a valuable time for our whole EA group. So yeah, I think we'll do that as a separate thing, and people that want to.
Outside of meeting.
Thank you. Joe, you had a question?
I did. Jamie, does it require a separate install, or is it already installed on our machines like Slack?
That's a great it depends answer.
okay.
Depending on your IT service group that supports you, it may or may not be installed on your machine, but it's accessible to everyone through the web, through like the same way you go to Office 365 to access your mail through the web. There's a Teams option in that suite. So everyone will be able to access it there.
Thank you. Question?
Downloadable, executable?
It is, yep.
Okay, super. If you're looking for a guinea pig group, I've been asked to pull together a working group out of the wellness committee on how to increase visibility of LGBTQ plus bias and awareness, working with HR, especially through the onboarding process. If you're interested in joining me, we can give that tool a try there as soon as Jamie is willing to lead a quick lesson.
Yeah, I'll be happy to set that up with you and we can work on that.
And if anybody else here is interested in joining that working group, you're more than welcome to come along.
Thank you. Kit, I think this will be the final comment before we move on to committee reports.
Yeah, I wanted to, can we get officially invited to the Teams? I'm not sure how that works, like how we were invited to box for the EA.
I will send those out to everyone else on the EA.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you all. If you have any other questions, feel free. I'm sorry to volunteer you like this, Jamie, but forward those team's questions to Jamie. And hopefully we'll be able to get a good consensus and good feedback around whether or not we should proceed as a whole with using Teams. And then hopefully during the retreat, we'll do a better training on this and with more information and feedback. But I think this is a good introduction to Teams, just as an idea, as a potential resource. Moving on to committee reports, executive committee. I know Michelle had a training, but I wanna see if she's able to give a executive committee report. If not, I could do so. Michelle? She might be in the training that she had mentioned. So I wanna use this time on the executive as the chair of the executive committee to talk a little bit about something that's been happening with the university assembly. So the university assembly has been in the past tasked with working with the CJC. I believe Laura Taylor has been on the CJC to review the campus code of conduct. We've reached the point in the review of the campus code of conduct where Madeline Wessel, University Council, and also the President, Martha Pollack, would like to solicit feedback from the community in regards to the revisions made to the campus code of conduct. So I am going to, within the link, share with you currently the draft of the campus code of conduct. This was something that Gina and Wendy had worked on and basically asked that if you have any time, I didn't send it to everybody. I just sent it to Michelle. Anyway, so if you have any time, review the campus code of conduct. You have space within this to make commentary, feedback. And I think that this is an important opportunity to contribute to, the campus code of conduct in a meaningful way. And now's the time when they're soliciting feedback. And it sounds like the president and university council are eager to hear from individuals. Laura, you have your hand raised, and I do want to hear from you as a member of CJC.
I just want to know, can you send that through email rather than the chat so that we can go back to it? And then when are the comments due by?
So the timeline for this is, like many things, very short. So they're hoping to solicit all of the feedback before Thanksgiving. So so that is sort of the timeline. I know there are going to be a lot of meetings set up to discuss this at the university assembly level, at the faculty senate level. If you have any specific commentary that you want me to contribute to the university assembly discussion, feel free to forward them to me and I will bring this forward at university assembly. So for anybody who doesn't know, University Assembly is a group of faculty, staff, students from across campus. We've got members so I'm on it, four other members of staff are on it, and faculty, it's undergrads, graduate students are also on it, and we all sort of discuss matters pertaining to the entire university. Ellen, you had your hand raised?
Yes, I wanted to know the commenting on these is open to the entire campus body, or they're just asking for assembly feedback?
Entire campus body. So
I'll be happy to promote this through all of our channels that we can and to get it in our EA newsletter and those sorts of things.
Gina, you had your hand raised?
Yes, just to Ellen, that's exactly the hope that that everybody has is that the assembly members will help push it out. There will be a campus-wide push, both through the faculty staff newsletter. There'll probably be very pointed emails to the different constituencies, either through the assemblies or through direct mailings. And then also for the students in the Cornell Daily Sun, trying to really generate a robust conversation around these. There may be some public forums. All of this will be very widely distributed. So as you see it, your help in pushing it out to your constituents would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you. That's a great summary. So I'm going to send an email with a link and also just a summary that we are asking for everybody's feedback. And I think with the more feedback, the better the campus code of conduct is going to be with this, you know, engagement and contribution from everybody within this community, because it does impact us all. So that is the executive committee report for me. We're still working on a retreat. We're hoping to maybe set a retreat up for when things are a little bit calmer, when the students perhaps are off campus. So that is on the horizon, and we'll talk about resources. We'll talk about longer term planning, and we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, any questions that you might have. This 1 hour and 15 minutes that we have, you know, to me is very short, especially since I feel like we have a lot of material to cover most of the time. That is the end of the executive committee report. Let's move on to the communications and awards committee. Ellen?
We have been very busy. Our last meeting was on September 29th. Meetings are posted in the box. Our next meeting will be scheduled next week, October 13th. Agenda is in the box with a link to the meeting, so please feel free to join. If you'd like to be added to my mailing list for the committee, please reach out to me and let me know, and I'll be happy to add you. Our voting seats are filled from the assembly body, but I'm happy to have as many volunteers to help out as possible. I do have two open voting seats for non-EA members. If you know anyone who is interested, please have them get in touch with me, or you can get in touch with me and let me know their info, and I'll reach out to them. We have the EA Appreciation Award, which you've all heard about already in this meeting today. And as mentioned, voting will commence today, and it will go through the weekend, and we'll have winners on Monday. For the president's address to staff, the event is up on the CU event space online. Thank you to Wendy for getting that set up. Save the date email is set up and will go out hopefully this week to the all staff body email. The faculty and staff news will run a promo on it in their newsletter next week, as well as include it on the CU Info website. We're currently working on a poster advertisement to post on digital boards around campus for those employees that are physically working on campus. And we are considering the possibility of purchasing ad space in the Daily Sun for that as well. Actually, while I have your attention, may I ask from the body if you feel that the Cornell Daily Sun, which is student-focused newspaper, would be a good medium to get news out to staff. I believe that a lot of staff subscribe to the newsletter electronically and visit the website. Even though it is student-based news, would that be a good medium for us to use for advertisement? Yeses, hands? Thumbs? Yes?
Yes. No? It looks like there okay. is well, some consensus.
Yeah. We'll get some pricing and information from them and see if it's worth it. Facebook and LinkedIn events have both been created and are live. If you do not already follow the Cornell Employee Assembly on Facebook and LinkedIn, please do so, and please promote our posts and push them out to your networks and your groups. The Cornell Chronicle will do a post address article. And that's what's going on for President's Address to Staff. We are currently working on the first EA Voice newsletter of this term, and we're hoping to get that out prior to the president's address, so we can also use that as another medium as a last, you know, push for that event. We have the ability to release one all staff communication each month to the full, employee body. And so our goal is to get one newsletter out each month. And right now I have a call for content. If anyone has any suggestions of things that they'd like to see in that newsletter, if anyone's willing to write a blurb about something, if anyone can contribute in any way, please reach out to me. I'd really appreciate that. Right now we have a promo for the president's address. There is a event happening with the Cornell Recreation Connection for a Halloween contest that we'll promote. Board of Trustee election results have been posted through many other channels, but we can include those as well. We are considering an article about the new EA body and what we're planning for this year to come. An update from Cornell Tech with thanks to Marin. And we will include the campus code of conduct feedback request. And if there's anything else, please let me know. And then upcoming topics of discussion for us are EA priorities poll and awards and recognition. Finally, polo shirt orders. This is the employee assembly polo shirt. It has our insignia on it. If you do not have one, or you do not have one that is the correct size for you, please let me know. I will be placing an order. I will send out a follow-up email reminder about that. But everyone on the assembly should have a shirt and wear it when we are present in public forums, and if we ever go back to in-person events for those as well. And that sums up my report for today. Thank you.
Thanks, Ellen. So we've run out of time, but I'd like to ask to extend this meeting by 10 minutes. Do I get a second on this motion to extend this meeting by 10 minutes? Joseph, do I have any dissent? I don't see any dissent. So we're going to extend this by 10 minutes to get through committee reports and have a chance for open discussion. I believe Laura Taylor had to jump off. So she's going to email us with the, I believe, Education Committee report. So let's move on to the Welfare Committee. Is Christy here for an update? I do not see Christy. I would imagine she has, I will ask her to email us with a report. Benefits and Policy Committee, Brian.
Hi. So we met on the 22nd and we'd had a robust discussion about retirements and discretionary funds. Went over our committee composure and what we got going on, and kind of left it there. And our next meeting is next week on the 13th. And I got a couple things on the agenda. We talked about vacation balances. There was some discussion. They want to talk about the 6.4 million to students versus not institutionalizing it. We will need one more additional member for our group from the EA. So we were going to discuss that, and we have some people that come. Maybe one of them wants to participate. So that's what we're going to discuss, and everyone's invited.
Thank you. If there's anybody who's not currently on a committee, feel free to join. I encourage you all to join committees. That's really where most of this work happens. The resolutions must pass through a committee. And even if you aren't interested in a resolution, working through issues and talking with your colleagues about issues, I think it is really great. As we've seen through these discussions, we learn a lot through conversations, and we move issues forward through them as well. The final committee is the elections. Joe, you had a question?
Yeah. Are we still looking at three committees per EA member?
I think so.
Is that a discussion that we need to have?
I think we're going to need to have that discussion. I think that we really need to revisit how much we can commit EA members to. I think in the past, when the EA was much smaller, having these committees, be able to be fully comprised of EA members, like, we did require more participation from each EA member. But I think with a larger body, I think we're going to really need to revisit that. So for now, this three committee, rule is going to be tabled. We're going to have to revisit and discuss it, because I don't think it's fair to ask people commit that much time. I think we all have a lot of work and a lot of other commitments. But thank you for bringing that up. Nasser, do you have any update on the elections committee?
This thing, Lisa, did you have your hand up?
Thank you, Nasser. Brian, I'd be glad to join your committee.
Hey, Lisa, I'll write that down. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
And then just quickly from the elections committee, I'm really just grateful to Jamie and also to Jessica, who have the upcoming meeting, sort of demystify and learn the process. And I can rest assured that usually there's retreats and walking through. But I think what I'm so blessed and happy to see is that, it's not just the polite thing to say, but it's true and true, the collegiality and the support that so many of you have already demonstrated. That's just really, really touching and grateful. And we'll be in touch with the rest of the election committee by email and doing those next steps soon.
Thank you, Nasser. So we're going to move on to new business. The priorities poll Ellen has already mentioned, and that is something that we'll work on at a later time. I want to provide the last 5 minutes for new business. Is there anything anybody wants to discuss? Has, maybe a constituent brought an issue to you? Do you want to talk through that issue? Is there anything you want to talk to, the employee assembly about as a larger committee? Ellen, your hand is up.
We can maybe address this in executive committee, but I would like to propose that we start our EA meetings at 12 p.m. and go to 1:30 p.m. because we're always ending up extending them at the end. And I think the reason we started at 12:15 was when we were meeting in person, it gave people a chance to grab their lunch, sit down, have a few bites to eat. Well, now we're all working from home, so we can get our own food when we need to. So I think we don't need that 15 minutes to get our food and eat. We can start right at noon if that is acceptable. So we're not always extending at the end.
I think that's a great idea. Joe, did you have anything to add on that, or did you have a different thing you wanted to discuss?
I definitely want to echo that because I agree completely. That will run up against the wellness committee, but I don't think that's that problematic. The question that I had is, we talked about getting word out to our constituents. As a rep at large, is there a list that the EA has of self-identified LGBTQ staff members? I know the CNG group may have one and the Resource Center may have one, but does EA have one? Or would I just get that from David?
I know one, I don't have an answer about if EA has that. Gina may be able to answer better about that or where we can get that. But I know one resource that may be helpful to you is the Anthony Sis, I believe, runs the College Network. The
College Network Groups.
College Network Groups.
Yep. So I know they have a list. I know they have one.
Be a good source. Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Brian, you had a question?
Yeah, not all of us are working at home, but I'm fine with that change. The only thing, it interferes with the welfare committee that I'm on. I keep going upstairs to 401 and nobody's got food up there for some reason, so I'm fine with it.
Gina, you have your hand raised?
Yes, just FYI, the time of the meetings is in the bylaws. That would require a bylaw change.
Okay. And also, is the three committee rule, is that in the bylaws as well? Or is
I'll take a look.
Okay. So we're going to need to completely visit the bylaws and make some changes. So let's discuss that. Let's put that on the table. So right now it's 1:38. If there are no other additional questions, I would make a motion to end this meeting right now at 1:38. Do I get a second? Brian, you have your hand raised?
I'm a second.
Second, great. Any dissent to ending right now? No dissent. With no dissent, I am going to end the meeting. I thank you all for your participation. Without your engagement and your cooperation, there would be no employee assembly, and this wouldn't really be able to function very well. So thank you all.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.